All right, imagine this. You're a law student, it's your final semester, and you're already thinking about bar prep, right? The light at the end of the tunnel is so close, but then you get a letter saying you're being dismissed from school.
Oof.
I mean, for anyone in law school listening right now, that scenario has got to be right up there with like worst
I
nightmares.
can't even imagine.
Well, today we're doing a deep dive into a real case where this kind of thing happened. It's called Shrek v. Southeastern University. And it really unpacks what your rights are as a student, contractually speaking. You know, like what kind of relationship you have with the university when you sign up and take tuition, and what happens if they dismiss you. Especially, we'll see what happens when it's right before graduation,
Right.
and we'll look at how much a university could actually end up having to pay if they mess up.
Yeah, the financial fallout can be huge.
Okay, so we've got a really detailed brief of the Shrek case itself, plus a standard legal brief that explains the basics. And just to like help us connect with you all listening, we've got some notes on how to make this stuff, you know, really relevant for law students.
Cool.
So the main thing we're focusing on here is that this medical student, Keith Sherrick, he was dismissed right before becoming a doctor, like right
Oh,
before,
wow.
because of a failing grade that he totally disputed and he sued the university for, like everything.
Okay, so this is interesting already. I mean, especially for future lawyers. You don't often think about how basic contract law applies to universities, but it totally does.
Yeah.
Like, we think of universities as these big institutions that have all the power,
Right. Tons of authority.
Yeah, and they do, especially over academics. But the Sherrick case shows us how that power is limited.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just do whatever they want. They still have to honor these, like, implied contracts they make with students.
Right. When someone enrolls and pays.
Exactly.
Interesting. So, all right, let's get into the specifics. Who is this Keith Sherrick guy? And what was the deal with this legal battle that blew up right before he was supposed to graduate?
Okay, so Keith Sherrick was a student at Southeastern University
Okay.
in their College of Osteopathic Medicine, and he was in his final year, like seriously about to become a doctor,
Oh, wow.
but he got a failing grade in one of his clinical rotations.
Like an internship thing.
Exactly. It was a rural rotation, specifically in general medicine, and it was at this place called Clewiston Community Health Center.
And that was it. Like one bad rotation and he was done.
Well, he didn't just, accept the grade.
Right.
He fought back, saying it wasn't fair and that the university was being totally unreasonable in dismissing him. And get this, the jury in the first trial actually agreed with him.
Wow.
They said the university had acted arbitrarily, like they didn't have a good reason.
Interesting. So, like, even though universities have a lot of leeway with academics, they can't just make stuff up.
Exactly. There has to be some kind of logic, sound academic judgment.
Right.
And that finding that the university acted arbitrarily, that became a key part of Sherrick's whole case.
Wow. Okay. So he sues the university with this jury finding in his pocket.
Yeah.
What was his argument, legally speaking?
He claimed that the university breached what's called an implied in fact contract.
Okay. So that means like there wasn't a written document, like a real contract,
Right.
right?
No signed paper saying you do this, we do that. But the argument is that when Sherrick paid his tuition and followed all the university's rules and met their requirements, that created an implied agreement.
Okay.
Like, the university was promising to give him his degree if he held up his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And Sherrick obviously thought, well, reasonably, that he was going to graduate and become a doctor.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, his dismissal, especially after the jury said it was arbitrary, totally violated that implied contract.
So it's not just about paying money for classes. There are actual legal expectations tied to that exchange. And when he sued, what kind of money were we talking about here? Like, he was going to be a doctor, so did he ask for a ton?
Yeah, I mean, a doctor's potential income is huge.
Yeah.
So his initial claim included damages for like what he would have earned as a physician.
Yeah.
But the trial court said, nope, you can only ask for some of your tuition back.
What? Seriously, from what he could have made as a doctor all the way down to just some tuition money, that seems like a huge difference.
Yeah, it is.
So, what did Sherrick do?
Well, he appealed, of course. He argued that because of this dismissal, and especially because the jury said it was arbitrary, he lost the chance to practice medicine, which means he lost out on all that income.
Right.
And the appeals court agreed with him, overturned what the trial court did and said, yeah, you can ask for more than just tuition.
Okay, so this is where it gets really legally interesting, right? Like, beyond just this one guy's case.
Right.
What does an implied in fact contract actually mean for students?
So, like we said, it's not a written contract, but it's still legally binding. It's based on how everyone is acting and what's happening around them.
Right.
So in school, it means when you, the student, pay tuition and enroll, and the university takes your money and starts teaching you, that creates an implied contract.
Got it.
You, as a student, reasonably expect to get an education that meets the university standards.
Yeah.
And that it'll lead to a degree if you do what you're supposed to.
Okay.
And the university is basically promising to provide that education and, you know, award the degree.
Makes sense. So Sherrick's wasn't just paying for classes. It was more like he was paying for the chance to become a doctor. And that chance, that opportunity, has value way beyond just the cost of tuition.
Right.
Right. Now, we've talked about this arbitrary and capricious thing a few times. Why is that so important in cases like this?
Because generally, courts don't like to interfere with what universities decide about academics.
Give them a lot of space, right?
Yeah, lots of deference. Courts recognize that universities have expertise, you know.
Right.
They're the experts in judging students and stuff.
Okay.
But this deference isn't unlimited. Courts will step in if the university's decision is totally random or unfair or made in bad faith.
Mm.
Maybe there's no good reason for their decision or it's based on something discriminatory, you know.
Right.
And remember, in Sherrick's case, the jury said the university did act arbitrarily.
Yeah.
That's what allowed the court to really question the university's decision and say, hey, this might be a breach of contract and there might be damages.
Got it. So let's say a university does breach this contract by unfairly kicking out a student. What can that student get in terms of money? Like, is it just tuition or is there more?
Well, the idea with any breach of contract is to make the person who was harmed whole.
Yeah, make them like it never happened.
Right. Put them back in the financial position they would have been in if the breach never happened.
Okay.
And that can involve different types of damages. Tuition reimbursement is just one to cover the direct costs, but.
Right. But like we said, a degree, especially a professional one, is worth way more than just the cost of classes.
Exactly.
And that's where I get into something called expectation damages.
Right. Compensating for what the person reasonably expected to get from the contract.
So in Sherrick's case, that would be his ability to work as a doctor and earn a doctor's salary.
Precisely. And the appeals court totally got this. They said, look, the value of a professional degree, especially for a future doctor who's almost done, is way more than just the tuition they paid.
Yeah.
The university can't just say, here's your money back, no harm done, when they basically took away someone's entire career path.
Right, right. So universities need to be careful here. Arbitrary dismissals could cost them way more than just a little tuition money.
Exactly. But hold on, there's another side to this.
Okay.
Trying to put an exact dollar amount on someone's future earnings isn't that super complicated.
Yeah, like how do you predict what a doctor would have made over their whole career?
Right. And legally, that kind of thing is called speculative damages. It's a big hurdle to prove.
So how did Sherrick's lawyers deal with that?
This is where the appeals court's reasoning gets really interesting.
Okay.
They acknowledged that it's tough to prove exactly how much someone would have earned in the future.
Right.
But they also said that if Southeastern's dismissal made it impossible for Sherrick to get his medical degree somewhere else.
Like if no other school would take him after this.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Then the university can't turn around and say, well, the damages are too speculative.
Mm.
The court basically said, you, the university, caused this situation.
Right.
You made it impossible to know for sure what he would have earned. So you can't complain that it's hard to prove the damages now.
That's a really interesting point. It's like they can't benefit from creating the problem.
Exactly. But the court also said that if Sherrick could still go to another school and finish his degree, then the damages would probably be the cost of doing that.
So like transfer fees, extra tuition, that kind of thing.
Right. Essentially, the court was putting the burden on the university.
Yeah.
To prove that Sherrick still had other options if they wanted to limit how much they had to pay.
So this is super important for anyone thinking about taking legal action in a similar situation.
Right.
All right. So let's bring it back to the law students listening. What are the big lessons from Sherrick v. Southeastern University?
Okay. A few big things to remember.
Okay.
First, implied contracts matter. even in places like universities where you might not think about contracts.
So it's not just about showing up and paying for classes. There's this whole legal framework underlying it.
Right. Second, students who are unfairly dismissed can potentially get a lot more than just their tuition back.
Okay.
If they can show that the dismissal really messed up their future career, they can try to recover money for those lost opportunities.
Interesting.
But, and this is key, they need a strong legal strategy to actually prove those damages.
So what's the most important thing for students to do if they're in this situation?
They need to be able to prove one of two things.
Okay.
Either that the university's actions made it impossible for them to finish their degree anywhere else, so their career is basically gone.
Right.
Or they have to show exactly how much it would cost to go to another school and get the same degree.
Got it. It's interesting because it really highlights the tension between how much freedom we give universities to make academic decisions and the basic rights that students have.
Absolutely. Shirk is a really important case because it shows how seriously the law takes those rights and the impact that a wrongful dismissal can have on someone's life.
Yeah.
There's this great quote from our brief. The relation between a student and an institution of learning privately conducted and which receives no aid from the public treasury is solely contractual in character.
So it all boils down to that contract.
Exactly. And the appeals court was really clear that universities can't just dismiss a student arbitrarily and then hide behind the fact that it's hard to prove damages.
Right. They said that Southeastern would be foreclosed from complaining of uncertainty in proof of damage caused by its wrongful actions.
Exactly. So it's all about finding that balance, giving universities the power to judge students, but also protecting students from unfair treatment that could seriously mess up their future.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Shirk, what should our future lawyers be taking away from all this?
The big things are, don't underestimate implied contracts.
Right.
Know that damages can go way beyond just tuition reimbursement.
Nah.
And understand how to prove those damages.
Hmm.
It's not easy. But Shirk gives us some tools to work with.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that contract law applies even in the academic world, and it has real consequences.
Absolutely. So to all our listeners, think about this. How could these same principles from Shirk apply to other kinds of training programs, like trade schools or professional certifications?
Interesting.
Or what are the ethical things universities need to think about when they're dealing with these kinds of lawsuits?
Right.
There's a lot to unpack here. But the bottom line is, understanding how the student-university relationship works legally, especially through cases like Shirk, is super valuable knowledge for your future legal careers.
Totally agree.